Hey.
Another exuberant, awesome episode of A Kick-Ass Love Story with your hosts, Paige Van Zandt and Austin Vanderford, the incredible Dennis Vanderford playing with his monkey on the couch.
Yep.
And he laid down.
He's laying down.
It doesn't take him long for when we get in here to just fall asleep on the couch.
I know.
At least we know he's comfortable.
Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to kick us off today.
Okay.
Now, I have a few things I thought we should just go back and talk about from our last podcast updates, this and that.
Yeah.
And then I had a few little fun little tidbits. A
couple fun little things.
Fun little things that we could get into.
Okay.
All right. I have sad news, I guess, first.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, other than the fact that your face is bleeding right now.
Yeah, I got a, I got a little, so I had sparring a couple hours ago.
Right before this.
Yeah, I got a headbutt. We clashed heads and, well, a nose headbutt. And anyways, I cut my nose and.
Oh, you got to wipe it. It's dripping on your face.
Is it? Oh, yeah. So I'm going to be wiping my nose because we can't miss the...
It's dripping.
Yeah. Can't skip the podcast or
just
this.
Hold it on your face.
Yeah, it was good for a while. But it's perfect.
Do you want me to get you a Band-Aid?
Right? It's a kick-ass love story.
Maybe you should just take your shirt off. I don't want you to drip blood on your Palm Angel shirt.
I won't. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So
it plays into it, right?
A kick-ass love story. It plays into a kick-ass love story. I'll just warn you anytime it's dripping down your face.
It was doing good for a little while, and I did have a Band-Aid on, but the Band-Aid makes it kind of hard to see.
It actually?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so. Just distracting.
It was a little distracting.
All right. And I think when you wiped it, you wiped the
scab
that had started.
The coagulation.
Who were you sparring with today?
I was sparring with Shoeface, who is in the PFL tournament at 205 for...
For the PFL.
Yeah, for the PFL.
Okay,
the
cool.
$1 million tournament. So he's getting ready for a fight and asked me to help him out today. So did that. Had some great rounds. Unfortunately, a little bonk like in the first round.
Oh, of course.
So just put some Vaseline on. And
luckily, it doesn't look bad enough to get stitches.
No, and it's not. And thankfully, too, it didn't like break my nose or anything. It's just... little cut there. So
you also said Damian Maya was at the gym today.
Oh yeah, I saw Damian Maya today. Yeah, he came in. I'm assuming his kids and and one of his friends or something, but it was kind of cool. He's a jiu-jitsu legend and had a really good career in the UFC too.
Nice. So. Got to watch my sexy little husband spar.
Yeah.
Okay, that wasn't the sad news though
that I had for
everyone. Last podcast, we filmed on your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You are drinking out of my birthday cup.
Oh, I am.
I am now 29 plus one.
Yes.
Officially 30 years old.
Yep.
And I had an incredible birthday.
Did you? Did you really have an incredible birthday?
I did cry a little bit on it.
A little?
Not happy tears either. It was like one of those like, what am I doing with my life?
Yes.
Because then you look back on the last 10 years.
And I'm like, a failure. What am I doing with my life? I'm so old now.
Well, because I look back on the last 10 years and it's like, okay, I did a lot of cool shit in the last 10 years. It's like, okay, can I really do that much cool shit in my 30s again?
Yeah, it's not like your life is over. You're only 30 years old.
Well, I look back and
I'm 34.
Look at all the cool stuff I did. I'm not doing any of that right now.
Well,
I guess, no, I do have a cool podcast with my husband.
Yeah, you got a podcast. You've got a movie coming up. You've got...
I married you.
You married me. You have a lot of potential things that we can't even say on here come up. And you know what? But I will say this. I kind of dropped the ball on your birthday. I didn't make it as special.
It did make it to midnight. And I was like, so where are my flowers or my present?
Yeah. I admittedly was not. And even laying in bed, I was like, gosh, damn it. I was not a good husband.
What did you get for your birthday?
I got cards.
How many?
I got a lot. We don't need to say.
I
got a lot of cards. But you did get a really nice bottle of tequila.
from your father. That's true. Your dad got me a really nice bottle of tequila.
Yes, yes. Very nice bottle of tequila, but I'm the one who picked that son of a bitch out. Okay,
that's very nice. I am very excited about my tequila, especially because starting next week, I will be filming Kick-Ass Cocktails with Paige Van Zandt.
Hell yeah.
And I am going to be sharing my favorite cocktails. Spoiler alert. Yeah. A lot of them are going to have tequila. Tequila is my drink of choice, yeah. But I also have cocktails with some other great liquors.
Jokes on everyone else. This was because you struck me. And
you, that's, giving you domestic violence is not funny.
Yes, I know. But when you are a fighting couple, it's not really.
I think it's worse.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay, I think it'd be worse if we were beating the shit out of each other at home.
Yeah, that is true.
Because we are. Well, I think it'd be worse for you to be beating me up.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay, but the sad news is I'm 30. Kind of feel like I've been 30 since I was like 18, though.
Yeah.
My career took off pretty quickly. Had a lot of...
And you've always been the mature one in your family. And it seemed like whenever there's an issue, it's always like onto you.
Yeah, so. But I also will put that pressure on myself where I know I can take care of it and I can handle it and I will do a better job than anybody else because I care.
Because you're a control freak.
Because I'm a control freak and yes. I have a hard time delegating.
Yes, you really do.
But that led to, gosh, a spiral effect of me thinking like, all right, you being in your, 30s.
Yeah. Me personally or?
You personally.
Yeah.
Men in their 30s date girls in their 20s. And I'm like, wow, is my husband going to leave me now that I'm not a hot 20-year-old?
No, yeah.
What's going to keep you around?
This is good. This is something you have to worry about now.
I was giving you the opportunity to pump me up.
Well, I don't think I really need to pump you up.
Okay.
I think you're pumped.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, birthdays. I had a great birthday.
But no, I am not going to leave you for a young 20-year-old.
Young, hot 20-year-old. All right. No. I'm taking the cards with me if you go.
Yeah. Okay. Deal.
Deal.
Deal. All that right. Makes sense. Yeah. Deal. That makes sense. That's a deal. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Great birthdays. I shared this on Instagram. I go to the mailbox.
Yes.
Because, your family was like, hey, did you get anything in the mail today? Or did you get anything at your door today?
Yeah.
And so I kept.
By the way, sorry to interrupt you because this is so funny. So you did get flowers almost at midnight on your
birthday. Because your family kept Nick and Natalie kept texting me and they're like, hey, did you get anything at the door? Did you get anything? And so like I'm eagerly checking the mailbox. And then at like 11 o'clock, which is crazy that a flower delivery company came at 11.
Yeah.
But I got the most gorgeous bouquet of flowers. Literally an hour after I interrogated you, I was like, honey.
See, and that's the point of this. So the Ring camera, we have a security system and so I'm watching and we have motion at like 11 something. Like, who the hell is at our house?
Door.
Yeah. And so I see what it is and I go out and I see his flower. Just I was so close since we had just gotten into a fight. I was so close to claiming that I was the one
sent him. There was an incredible card and it was not from you. So.
Yes. And I almost took the card off and I almost did the whole thing.
That would have been awful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did get you, one more thing. I did get you a really beautiful bouquet of roses not too long ago.
You did.
And they're just sitting in our closet, appreciated. They're
They are displayed with my prized possessions, my purses.
Yeah, I guess so.
I have a purse collection.
Okay.
And they deserve flowers.
Okay.
And if you would have read the care instructions, you're supposed to keep them out of direct sunlight.
Oh, okay.
They're like, they're preserved.
So you are appreciating.
Yes. Okay. If they're preserved roses, so they need to stay. They'll last for up to a year. They're from you. They're incredible.
Yeah, yeah, they are. They are incredible. When did I get those?
For Valentine's Day? That was last month.
Yeah, I must have.
Yeah. So, anyways, they're supposed to be kept out of direct sunlight.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this is perfect. I'll display them with all my beautiful purses.
Yeah.
I think it looks great.
It does, yeah.
And our closet's not just a closet.
That's true.
We have a pretty grand closet.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, but back to my funny checking the mailbox.
Yes.
So I'm like going out to the mailbox and I get this letter and it's addressed to me, but there is not a lot of like, when it's spam mail, yeah, it'll usually say like, oh, apply for this credit card today, sell your house today, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like, oh, this is must be something for my birthday.
Yeah.
So I opened it. It was for my birthday.
But this is so funny too.
Who was it from?
The morgue.
It was from a fucking funeral home.
So funny.
They sent me a letter on my 30th birthday saying there is no better time to plan your funeral, to take the burden of the cost of a memorial off of your family. Start planning today. Since when do morgues send 30-year-old birthday cards? That's
crazy.
Saying plan your funeral today.
Yeah, that's it's morbid.
It's morbid. I was so close to calling them because it's a local funeral home.
Yeah,
and saying like, what the fuck?
It's so funny.
You send me, my birthday. I'm supposed to plan my funeral on my 30th birthday. Like, I'm already depressed about leaving my 20s. And like, you know, I'm an official adult now.
Yeah.
And now you're saying I need to start planning my funeral. Like, it literally is all downhill from 30.
No, it is not. And not to get morbid, but so my father was just here for our birthdays and stuff. And he's a... he's a funny guy. We were really close to having him on the podcast.
We were.
But a little TMI. He had some bowel issues.
The stomach flu.
Yeah.
I think he got food poisoning.
I think he had the same shit that I had a week ago.
Okay. Yeah. Continue.
Anyways, I digress. He is a funny guy.
Yes,
as you can imagine, he's my father.
Yeah. I'm a funny guy. Wonder where you get it from.
But he's, you know, he's probably the toughest, like most badass guy I know. He was a door gunner for a helicopter in Vietnam, and he was one of those guys who he loved the war, he loved the military, and he
says if he could go back and fight again for his country, he would today.
Yeah, I've had to talk him out of going to fight in various wars going around the country now because he wants to go do that. So, anyways, he was here for our birthdays, and you know, you're talking about being old and all this, and he's got a good sense of humor and all that. But so then we got talking, you know, again, kind of morbid about death stuff anyways, he goes through phases. He starts watching things that he's in a big Viking phase right now, and he to the point where he got a Viking tattoo. He's, you know, my dad's 76, but he's still getting tattoos and crazy guy. Anyways, but he's now, this has been probably for, I remember it was a New Year's Eve. It must have been maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
And we were a little inebriated and by a fire, and he's going on, and he's pretty drunk at this point. In fact, I believe he fell down in front of the fire. But he started going on about when he dies, he wants me to build a little raft, put him in the raft.
Catch it on fire.
He wants you to set it on fire and push him out into the cook inlet in Ninilchik, where I'm from. So with all of his military stuff. And the point of the whole thing is, his funeral would be very cheap, you know.
Are you allowed to do that?
I don't really know. I would imagine there's probably,
you could probably get away with it in Alaska though.
Right. Yes. And that's the other thing. But you know, he still maintains to this day that this is what he wants. So I guess I'm going to, at one point, I guess I'll build a
boat. Just shove me in there while you're at it.
Yeah. So anyways, you could always do something like that, you know? Yeah.
Something cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I don't know if that made me feel better or not.
I know. That was kind of morbid. Yeah.
That was a little bit crazy. Morbid.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other updates we have? Let's just change the subject.
You got a really nice birthday gift, but it's not here. You were going to unpackage it.
It's out in the living room.
Yeah, you'll have to get that because that's cool.
We'll get that here in a minute.
Yeah,
I'm 30. I got flowers. Oh yeah, right at 11 p.m. I got flowers for the last hour of my birthday.
Yep.
Got a funeral letter. some great time with our family.
You got a really nice mug that I'm drinking 29 out of.
Plus one. And then I got a wine glass that says, are you 30? And then you have boxes, maybe, or it's like, yes, no, and bitch, I might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like 30 is just a turning of a page for women.
Yeah. And it's different. Like, you know, and I, yeah. So when you were kind of going on about, you were unhappy because, for one, you were unhappy with me a little bit on your birthday because every decision I always said, well, it's your birthday, yes, babe.
What this do is you... what pisses me off. Yeah. Was this is what pissed me off the most. I was like, okay, like, yeah, it's my birthday. Where do you want to go to dinner? And you were like, it's your birthday. Just pick somewhere. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. What do you want to do? It's your birthday. What do you want to do? I just felt as if there could have been a tiny bit more effort into you saying like, hey, it's your birthday, let me take you to your favorite restaurant.
Yeah,
and you could have taken me to 2, 3, 4. Or like, hey, it's your birthday, let me take you to Mexican, let's get you some margaritas because you love tequila. Like, there could have been.
I did do that.
No, I picked the restaurant and it was awful.
It was awful. Well, yeah, we her birthday was on a Taco Tuesday.
It was Taco Tuesday.
It was kind of loud at this particular place, and she usually does love this place, and I'm not necessarily a fan. But
no, and I think that's where I was like, you know what? Like, you're not having a good time. I could tell you didn't like your food. It was just like, well, damn it.
Well, I ate all of my food.
You always eat all of your food. That's true. Always.
Yeah. But no, the point of this too is, you know, because for a guy, like, I don't really give a shit. I mean, but, and you don't really either.
No,
but
and I don't want gifts. I don't want anything like that. But I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, because I'm already don't really care to for birthdays.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know. Yeah. And then it got down to it. And I was like, you know, my husband could have got me flowers at least.
Could have been better. I agree.
No, great birthday. It's over now. Yeah. I feel like you were going to say something else I had coming up that's exciting.
Ooh.
I don't know. Remember. Okay, we don't have any fight updates. I did want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Still, I haven't gotten my contract. As far as I know, the fight's still 100% though. So I'm set on that and training and getting ready.
Yep.
You don't have any fight updates, unfortunately. We're just kind of trying to get an opponent.
I've been told like a couple different things, so we're just it seems like May, could be June, but that'd be
really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's just
because you've been ready to fight for ever, pretty much forever.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm ready. Like, I'm ready now. If someone were to call and say, "Hey, next week," then I'm ready to go.
And you're only getting older.
Hey, F you. But my, I'm ready.
What we should do is call like Garrett or Malky on this, our managers, and like have it on speaker and say, like, hey, like, what's going on in our careers? What the hell is going on?
No, I agree.
Do you have a fight for me or not?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, no updates there, but I wanted to get into the gist of what I actually wrote down for the podcast.
Okay.
So, we talked about all that stuff. So, I was on Instagram. Oh, I have one more update. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
One more from my mom.
Oh, yes. Yep.
So we know she was having issues with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
No, not issues.
I love how we put our family shit out here.
I text my mom this morning. I gotta read this. I text my mom, right?
Yeah.
And I say, not good morning, nothing. Any updates on the jealousy front? How do you feel that now that you're home? Any worries about the new boss? How was your boyfriend while you were gone?
Oh my
gosh. The podcast needs to know.
That is so funny.
So that's what she woke up to. And I text her at like, you know, 8 a.m. our time. So it's 5 a.m. her time.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'll just read it.
Yeah.
Well, Joel was amazing with the jealousy issue. And then an emoji with the star eyes.
Yeah.
He made sure I was comfortable and just had me work with him and the other female so I was able to get comfortable and not feel insecure. I started a devotional on jealousy. Anytime I have a tiny thought or worry that come up, I give him or her a compliment, either in my mind or an actual compliment.
Okay.
Cute, mom. I also remind myself that there is no such thing as sacredity. I'm not really sure what she means by that one.
Okay.
So let's say a work affair did happen, I would just move on. Maybe it would hurt for a bit, but I know I am strong and I would be fine alone, or I would find a new boyfriend, LOL.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, and if Joel is listening to this too, then he, you know,
he's hearing this. And then she goes on. Joel is so amazing. While I was gone, he took care of the puppies. He painted the beach house, and he also had all the pups and picked me up at the airport. So he went and drove all the way to the airport to pick her up. But like, gosh, it must have been like 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah, now the viewers have met your mom, and she is a very tiny and very sweet.
Yes.
The sweetest woman.
Sweet. So. She's just like a sweet little baby. And part of the time, I feel like I'm her mom.
It's exactly.
So I just feel like I need
not part of the time. That is the relationship.
I need to baby her and guide her and point her in the right direction. Yes. So give her some advice. So that was the update from my mom and her jealousy issue now that she's home.
So, and I was just thinking about this too. What's so funny about this, you know, we say some stuff, tell our families stuff on here a little bit.
Yes.
But recently I had told the story about walking in on my parents.
Oh, yeah, doing it.
Making love, yeah. Oh, so I texted my mom and said, oh, yeah, you guys were on the podcast last
episode. You'll have to listen.
And she was like, oh, MG, I'm so excited. Because my mom is, you know, and it's like, yeah, you'll have to listen to it. It was really great. And so then she had asked, she's like, what? What were you guys talking about? Or what? And she's still oblivious, no idea. And but I never got an update on it, so I don't know. I'm not sure she heard.
No, I know she listens.
Just embarrassed. I know she listens.
She comments. She's commented on all of our videos, and I comment back to her.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Sorry, so Mom. I don't know. Maybe she's embarrassed and she hasn't said anything.
Your mom doesn't seem like the kind to get embarrassed by that.
No.
Embarrassing enough. I did my. Well, no. No, I don't know if you want to know this.
Yeah.
I was in high school.
Yeah.
My grandpa walked in on me.
Oh, jeez.
That was rough.
Yeah. That was rough. I could have went without hearing that.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Yes. So, well, I'm not going to say this part. But
say it.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, I don't, they couldn't have been that embarrassed. I did, you know, when we were kids, like which I'm sure they still do, but some of the locked
TV stations.
Yeah. Or no. Some of the, you get on like Dish Network or whatever, and channels are locked, like rated R or whatever is locked. And so we were, you know, always trying to unlock these because we wanted to watch crazy stuff.
I'm sure you did.
And So, but this time it was me, my brother, and my sister
watching it together.
Not porn. Okay. No, but we were trying to watch like Friday or some, because anything rated R was locked. Yeah. So there was something on, and so we're like going through codes 1234 the blah blah blah. Finally, whatever came to me, I was like, wait, try 6969. And I put it in and it unlocked it. So we, had access to rated R stuff for a little while.
Access to the real naughty stuff.
Yeah. And eventually everything was locked again. And we never, my parents and I never talked about it. So they obviously knew I cracked the code. But
could you see anything of like the recently watched on there? Or like
I don't remember.
Recommendations?
I don't remember. But what I do remember being kind of funny was so where we were at. So we were living in a trailer house, and in there was our living room and then the hallway, and my parents' room was at the very end. We'd be watching something, I would click on something in the living room, but the way our TV was set up, whatever you were watching in the living room was on every single TV.
Got it.
So I seen like a Harry Twatter or whatever. It's like clicked on it, you know, and I'm like 14, 13. So it's like porn. And I didn't really realize that it was going to be playing in my parents' room too. So I'm like a kid watching it.
Watching
and it's
Harry
on,
Twatter.
Yeah. And it's on in the back room too. And my mom came out, and yeah, I got in trouble for that. But
was that your choice as a kid, Harry Twatter?
Okay, so back then too, you know, like Dish Network and whatever, uh-huh. they had all the I remember once you got past like all the HBO, then it was
all the X-rated
all in stuff. A row, and it was always funny stuff like Harry Twatter and the and then there was like really funny names
like the clever ones, like these kids, like new age kids, you don't understand.
Yeah, they don't understand
what TV was like.
They have no idea
back in the day.
Yeah,
and how you picked your movies.
Yep.
And you'd have not little baby Austin Vanderford watching Harry Twatter.
The hell did we get in on this?
I don't know.
The hell did this come from?
I have no
and
idea.
And now my mom's going to hear this too. And gosh damn it.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. That's a right. Kick-ass love story.
Love story. Okay.
Sexual stuff, love.
Sex, yeah. Love. We could get even more deep dive. I'm like, so I intended on this to be like really raunchy, really in-depth sex talk between a couple. Okay. I feel like I still have to like ease you into it. But I think this is our 20th episode.
Oh,
by cool. The way,
yeah,
episode 20. Good job, babe.
Nice.
So TBD.
Okay.
Or not? Yeah, event or TBA to be announced.
Okay, to be announced.
When we're gonna get real raunchy?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah, all right.
I think we've done a decent job at it.
Scratch the surface.
Yeah.
All right. I was on Instagram.
Okay.
And this is gonna be more relationship, more analytical.
Okay.
Relationship talk. So okay. I'm on Instagram scrolling and I follow some like motivational things. So like Instagram had recommended a video for me and it was a guy must have had a relationship podcast or
okay.
something to do with like relationships in this. And I wish I would have saved the video to show or play the actual what he was saying. But
yeah.
To put it into context, basically he was like, you know, you need to stop changing in front of your spouse. Stop dressing in front of them.
Really?
So you're supposed to like have your partner see you naked less, so then it like leaves something to be desired for.
Gotcha. Yeah,
so it's like they're not seeing you go from your baggy clothes to your nice clothes. It's like you walk out and all of a sudden you're like a dime piece and you're looking all great. And I think he had said it a little bit better, but I could not agree with him less.
Yeah. I mean,
I would have to go back and really deep dive and see like, okay, well, what are you really saying? Like his theory was that your partner needs to just like see you dressed up and not see the process of you getting ready, I guess. And
yeah,
I disagree.
Okay.
And I think it goes back to another podcast we had spoken on about that Shark Tank product.
Yeah.
Where it was like you press a button. Yeah. If the other, like if you want to have sex, you press a button.
And
if you both press it, a light comes on and then you have sex. It's like, okay, how miserable of a relationship if you can't be like, one, truly comfortable with the other person.
Yeah.
Truly honest.
Yeah.
So that led me into this like deep dive of like, okay, should you be naked in front of your spouse more or less?
Yeah.
Because we're naked in front of each other all the time.
And yeah, like, you get offended if you don't
sleep naked.
Yeah, if I don't
Couples are meant to sleep naked with each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like our sex life is incredible.
Yeah.
So we definitely don't, we're naked. I mean, most Sundays we'll just be naked all day.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been, well, not recently because we've had family.
We have had family here.
It'd be a little weird, but.
But we'll wake up, we'll go suntan outside naked, have our coffee while we're naked, come in, you'll open cards and play video games naked with your friends.
Why do you have to make me sound like that?
It's nice.
Open cards, naked.
Open cards, naked. But you look, I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I am a fan.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible. And I think that leads me to the point. It's like, okay, you only cover something up if you're embarrassed by it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're embarrassed or you're trying to hide.
Yeah. So if I'm going to give like my honest like thought into it, I understand what the guy is saying. It's like, you know, you listen to the same song over and over again, you get tired of it or whatever. I understand the theory, but I don't think that works for every single couple. I think it is a possibility for some couples and stuff, but like, exactly, with you and I don't agree at all, because, you know, the bond between us is so much more than
just naked. And just because we're naked in front of each other doesn't mean we're trying to turn each other on.
For sure.
It's like, you can be completely open in yourself and naked.
Yeah.
Without any expectation.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, when we're in the mood, then we're in the mood, and then you play on to the nakedness. But,
and I can always tell when you're in the mood.
there's no hiding it. But, so funny. I understand what he's trying to say, and I get that that's probably something.
It's like the teasing and the allure.
And that probably is something for some couples, but definitely for us, not something that we.
No. And that kind of got me into, so then I started doing research online. I went into this like spiral.
By the way, too, it's funny you said Sundays I'll be gaming naked or whatever.
Yeah.
I get home from sparring today.
Yep. You had blood pouring down your face still. Yeah. And you're like, oh, the guys have an hour.
So my brother and then one of my best friends, John, you know, they live in Alaska, and so 4-hour difference. So they get up and game before work. Because, you know, they got time.
Which is insane. They're on at like 6 a.m. their time.
Yeah, I mean, so I got done with sparring at like 10:45 this morning. I biked there. I was on my way back home. And I had seen the bat signal. We call it the bat signal. But the bat signal went up on my phone that they were getting on to play. And so I was like, oh, how much time do you guys have? And Hunter's like, well, I got until at least 8:15. And 8:15 a.m. there, so you know, 12:30 here. So I had like an hour and a half. So I biked home
as fast as you could.
Took my shit off.
Didn't even call me after practice. That's how I know you were in a hurry.
Yeah,
come in, barely give me a kiss. Blood pouring down your face. You didn't even talk about what happened.
No,
all of a sudden you're just naked with your headset on, playing video games. I'm gonna put the video up.
Yeah, expose I had blood you. All over my chest. Everything.
You can't see anything, so I'll put it in the podcast on YouTube. But.
So, anyways, there's some truth behind the gaming.
Yes, there is some truth behind it. So. This led me into this deep dive about, like, okay, why would someone not want to be naked in front of their spouse?
Yeah.
And I have a statistic for you.
Okay.
What percent of women don't feel comfortable getting naked in front of their partners?
Oh, this is interesting. Yeah. What percent of women
don't feel comfortable?
Gosh, I would say, I'm gonna say it's higher than what I'm thinking. I'm gonna say 70%.
Okay, so it doesn't. Well, I may have jumped the gun on you on that, but 1 in 6 women don't feel comfortable getting naked in front of their partners.
Okay, so 1 in 6 would be.
1 in 5 would be 20%. So 1 in 6 would be
15. 17. Let's
circle back. Okay, we're gonna come back to that when we get a little bit of math. One in six.
I think seven. I think 15, 30, 45. 60, 75, 90. Okay, there we go. 16.67.
So don't feel comfortable getting naked in front of their partners. This is according to a recent UK study where they polled nearly 2,000 adult women. According to the survey, 16% of those women polled had not gone all natural, had not been naked in front of their partners in more than a year.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane. And then
45% of the women in the group cited a lack of confidence about their figures for being the reason. 30% it was due to a lack of sexual desire.
Okay.
21% said they're so down on the way that they look that they don't even look at themselves naked.
Jeez.
Which,
that's. So this is, and now this is UK, right?
It is.
I mean, I don't really know.
I don't think there's a difference. Yeah, I just think that a lot of studies come out of the UK.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So then I go and I'm like, geez, it's like a woman issue. So then I'm typing like a percent of men who don't feel comfortable naked in front of women, or like husbands, percent of husbands that feel insecure about being naked in front of their spouse.
Yeah.
You could not find a direct link to that whatsoever.
Really?
I would type those and it'd be like, and you type something on Google and then
Yeah.
It's like the exact opposite.
Yeah.
The articles that came up after I typed that in said, afraid to be naked in front of my husband. I'm too insecure to get naked in front of my boyfriend. Help. Why we never let our husband see us naked. 10 things he doesn't think about when he sees you naked. 1 in 6 women don't get naked in front of their partners.
Crazy. Yes. I never thought about this, but now, I mean, it makes sense though.
It's gotta be a man issue too, or maybe that.
Nah, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think it's necessarily a man issue.
I think the less security.
Yeah, I think it's a female situation. Well, I mean, I don't know if this is weird to say or not, but are females like, are you insecure about being naked in front of like your mom or something like? Or,
ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I think that brings up a whole other conversation.
Well, I don't mean it like that, but you know,
that's not what I mean.
Yeah,
like so. Actually, I feel my lack of confidence and sorry, mom, this is gonna get really childhood trauma-y or no, okay. Emotional. So not even okay. Yeah. So I feel like insecurities are. I feel like some insecurities are learned.
Yeah.
So when you grew up with parents who are constantly criticizing themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Constantly
yeah.
on a scale, constantly putting themselves down, embarrassed to change in front of their kids, won't be naked in front of their kids. It is a learned habit.
Okay.
So I grew up with mom. I love you. Throwing you under the bus again, a mom who is very self-conscious.
Yeah.
And my mom looks fucking incredible.
Your mom is in amazing shape.
My mom has a six-pack basically and incredible shape. She could run a marathon.
Yeah.
And she's 50. I mean, she's still young though. She's only 52.
Yeah.
So I grew up though with a mom still extremely insecure with herself and her figure. So when I walk in on her naked, she'll like cover up and hide. I'm like, mom, I literally came out of your body. You do not need to hide in front of me. And then I was able to see like the way my friends acted with their moms. Like one of my very best friends growing up, her name was Alexa. And her mom, I mean, would be naked in the house in front of me, just like so much more confident with her figure and her body. That I was like, wow, you can actually like, it was just so much more comfortable, like to not constantly criticize the way that you look.
Yeah.
So being myself, I want to like break those habits.
Yeah.
So I like found these articles. This was, you know, a while ago. It's like, okay, if you want to be more comfortable being naked, stand in the mirror and look at yourself naked for 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever. Just stand there and look at yourself naked. You're going to start to like what you see.
You know, I don't, it's a different situation because I work out for a living and stuff. And so and I've been an athlete my entire life. So it's hard for me to comprehend and like, fathom not like being able to look at yourself naked in the mirror and stuff. But
I can relate to it because when I weigh in and when I fight, my fight weight is so different than what I look like in my walking around weight.
Yeah.
I like, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know what I used to look like and what I can look like and what I don't look like anymore. And obviously it also comes back to the sexualization of women on social media.
Yeah.
That's why I love that guy, the Goob, I talked about how he exposes these women like, oh, do this, buy my workout plan and you can look just like me.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, because all their pictures are edited. They're making snatching their waist in. They're making their butt bigger. Like, girls can literally edit videos to snatch their waist in and make their butt bigger and change their curves and stuff. So I can definitely understand like the pressure and.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. But gosh, that is just. Yeah. That sucks. That's a situation. Like I just can't. Fathom. Again. Yeah. And I can't. The thought of, you know, being in a relationship where, you know, you're afraid to be naked in front of your spouse.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to go with. I'm disagreeing with what I saw on Instagram with the relationship guy saying, you know, leave something up to the imagination or, you know, don't change in front of your spouse. I say you should.
Yeah.
And I have advice on how to be more comfortable with your spouse. This actually is why it is time to walk around naked.
Okay, nice.
With your spouse in parentheses.
And again, too, the other thing about me is I am so comfortable being naked.
Like, yeah.
I, Like when we're out in our backyard, you know, there's probably spots where neighbors could probably see us, but I'm like, whatever. I don't really care.
If they're looking in our backyard, it's on them. If they're looking,
then yeah, I guess it's on them. And I'm not really like, you know, of course I'm not going to go and expose myself in front of fucking,
But we built 15-foot privacy hedges for a reason.
Yeah. I've never, you know, I was the kid running around our house naked and high heels to be a joker, funny guy. Nice. Know? So I'm just not. Yeah.
No. Yeah. All right. So this is why it's time to walk around naked with your spouse.
Okay.
One, to build physical intimacy.
Oh, okay.
And that's the thing. You want your partner to like be more intimate with you. Put it all out there.
Yeah. So this is that would definitely be opposite of what this other guy was saying.
Say put it all out there. And this is an article. I didn't type this. Okay. I found this article online. Yeah. The six pillars of intimacy are the foundation of an extraordinary marriage. They include emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, recreational, and sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
Intimacy is more than just sex. It's important to prioritize all six pillars because they provide beauty and strength to your marriage. Anyways, and it goes into, you know, all the reasons being naked builds physical intimacy, which I feel are very self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Two, be true to yourself and your spouse, or be your true self around your spouse.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
If you can't be your real self in front of your spouse, like...
Yeah, then...
Then you're just not comfortable with the other person.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue because that, in my opinion, is what authentic, real relationship should be, is you can be your 100% self. You can be naked, playing fucking video games and, you know.
Nerding out on some cards.
No, all jokes aside. I mean, that's the... Otherwise, why would you want to be in a relationship and be shackled?
Yeah, to put it even in better words, they write, nakedness requires vulnerability. In order to feel comfortable naked around your spouse, you have to create an environment where you feel safe.
Yeah.
The only way to make this happen is by communicating openly and honestly with each other.
Yeah. What about when you're naked and your partner constantly is like...
Poking your butthole.
Poking your balls and doing stuff like that. Is there anything?
I do get in trouble.
I'm not
for
saying that.
That
you do that, but yeah.
I do get in trouble. Then I'll notice if I play with you too much, you'll go put underwear on.
No, but there's like sometimes, I'll be, you know, we'll be naked or whatever. I'll be in the fridge looking for something and she like crawls on the ground and is like poking my ball. Like, okay, babe, you know, that doesn't really feel that good.
All of a sudden, your underwear go on.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
I'll put it away.
Yep.
It's my favorite toy.
It's taken away.
What do you expect from me?
It's taken away.
Rude. Okay, withholding sex is a form of torture.
Okay, I'm not withholding it, but I'm just asking, hey, maybe, you know. Prod my testicles.
Okay. Sorry. Hey, once I stop touching it, you're going to be really sad.
Yes, I know. She does say that too.
You're going to miss.
You're going to really miss this. well, guess what?
What?
Well, I was going to say something, but.
Say it.
It'd be mean.
Say it.
Remember, you are 30 and you're not a 20-year-old. So you better tread lightly.
Yeah. If your Trevor Lawrence cards somehow disappear, it wasn't me.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Back to my article.
I'm getting better looking with age.
Now that I'm getting scrutinized. Okay. To switch up foreplay.
Okay.
Let's be honest. One of the first things that attracted you to your spouse was their physical presence.
Yes.
Intellect, emotions, and behavior aside, physical attraction helps fuel passion.
Emphasis on the intellect for me. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about on one podcast? I think I'm smarter than you are.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, when you walk around naked with your spouse, you facilitate and possibly even ignite that attraction.
Okay.
Yeah, even when it subsides over the years, the form of foreplay can lead to a new and creative way to initiate sex.
Yeah.
Foreplay is a crucial piece of sexual intimacy. Babe, foreplay.
Yeah.
Okay. We need okay. foreplay.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. FYI.
Yeah.
Alongside romance. Wow. I just need like two
okay.
minutes. A little foreplay would be all nice.
Right. All right.
And me poking it, that's not foreplay. That's just fun.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Okay. Here's some ways you can easily get or stay naked before or after you shower. I don't know.
This is dumb. Yeah. Okay,
that got a little weird. Yeah. Just take your clothes off. Yeah, honestly. Just
take your damn clothes off.
Just take your damn clothes off. So that was my article on why I think you should be naked more.
Crazy, okay.
And somehow, totally, then it led me to revealing divorce statistics in 2024.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well, let me hear it.
I went on a crazy tangent. I feel like this all tied in. I don't know why I went to. Oh, just, I guess you need to feel comfortable in front of your partner. This was sad, though, because then I'm, like, reading and on this, like, long podcast prepping session. Yeah. Let me go back to my note. Okay, there we go.
I mean, we're already, listen to this. This what? Is crazy. I just came up with this in my mind. We're already, like, a quarter of the way done with 2024.
That's insane.
Yeah. It seems like it was just.
It just started.
Right? It feels like January 1st, all January, all February. We're at the end of March.
Yeah.
Damn.
It feels like it's
still. We only need to make three more quarters not to get divorced in 2024.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, what happened in 2019? Literally, like, I feel like I blinked and it. It yeah, blinked in 2019 and it's 2024.
It's crazy.
I was looking up divorce statistics.
Okay.
Because I felt like it tied into like being comfortable around your spouse and this.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Did you know divorce remains? Okay, I'm gonna ask you another question.
Okay, ask me.
What are the divorce rates among pro athletes?
Oh, geez, I would say so.
And who do you think has what sport has the highest?
Okay, divorce nice. Rate? Yeah, yeah. So like percentage?
Percentage.
Okay, I would say. Pro athletes probably have a 70% divorce rate.
Pro athletes, this is according to a law firm.
Okay.
Divorce rates among pro athletes are 60 to 80%.
Damn, okay. I was mm-hmm. right in the middle. I was yep. probably right on. And the, oh gosh, I would, it's gotta be NBA or NFL players.
Pick one.
NFL.
No.
NBA.
Yes.
Yep.
What do you think the divorce rate for NBA players is?
85%.
87%.
Damn.
87% of NBA Damn. Players are divorced within 5 years of getting married.
No.
Within 5 years. So that's why when I had all these basketball players sign into my DMs, not even gonna happen.
Yeah. I wish I could say
some Don't of them, but I'm say not going it. To. Yeah. Anyways.
It just pumps me up. Makes me feel so good.
Yes. And when I Googled your name, there wasn't a ton of, what was the word I'm looking for? Scandals.
Oh, okay.
Scandals.
Oh.
This is a funny just thing a I did.
Scattering rubbish.
Yes. When I was single. Charge. So when I was single and I would have, you know, bigger named people sliding into my DMs.
Yep.
The first thing I would do if I wanted to respond is I would Google their name and then type scandal at the end of it. Mm. And then it would tell me everything I needed to know. So I Googled one of them and it was like, does so-and-so have six baby mamas with six different kids?
Oh, cripes.
And yeah. I think it was true, actually.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay.
So, yes, we do have to work hard in our marriage.
Yes.
Because divorce rates for professional athletes are so high.
Yeah, but that's within 5 years is your statistic.
That's true. And yeah. we've been married over 5 years. That.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll be 5.5 years tomorrow.
Yeah. So we beat the stats.
Beat the stats. And then it kind of goes into, of course, I don't know if MMA fighters are a part of that statistic. It's a little different.
It is. It's, I don't, yeah, I would think MMA fighters... The rate is a lot lower. Seems I'm thinking of like notable MMA fighters with a spouse, and I can't think of a. I can't even really think of a single one that's been divorced.
No, as far as the married professional athletes that are professional fighters I know,
yeah,
they've all been with their spouses for a long period of time.
Yeah. So
at least, I mean, and then there's, it also goes into like the people you surround yourself with.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
People who have married friends are more likely to stay married. And
oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. If you're,
yeah, that makes
sense. Or I guess the way they phrased it was like people who have divorced friends are more likely to get divorced.
That makes sense too.
It also says though, in fact, the average, this is from Forbes, by the way.
Okay.
Forbes.com. The average length of a marriage prior to divorce is 8 years.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yes. So we got to make it to 8 years.
Okay. I always thought the saying used to be seven.
I thought it was years, seven too. Yeah, whereas like if you can make it to 7 years in marriage, then you're set.
So it's changed.
2024, it's eight. But I think that's positive because marriage averages are getting bigger.
Long. Okay.
Like because it used to be 7 years, like
the yeah.
average divorce rate ranges around 7 years. Now yeah. it's people are staying together a little longer.
Okay, nice.
Divorce rates. The divorce rate has decreased in 2024. Awesome for us. third marriages do have the highest divorce rate though, which makes a lot of sense.
Third marriages have the highest divorce
yeah.
rate?
Yeah.
Okay. So
you're 73%.
Damn. Yeah. See that, yeah, that surprises me. I would think by the time you're on your third marriage, you're just like, you know, if you're going to get married, it's like, all right, this
fuck
is
it, let's just do it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do this shit again.
Funny fact, 6% of divorced couples remarry each other.
6%?
Yes.
Really?
Remarry each other.
Dang, okay.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah. So you want that, you always talk about wanting to get married again. I guess we could just get divorced.
Yeah, and then we get divorced. I get to get another wedding dress.
Yeah.
And just do it one more time.
Yeah.
I found some really pretty wedding dresses that I really want to buy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
can I have another ring?
We got that in our back pocket. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I want a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some things that I'm going to definitely change when we
what
remarry. I'm kidding.
Are we gonna set like
you're signing that prenup?
No.
I'm kidding,
don't make me sign it. Okay, I have some more fun facts. These are kind of funny. It's just funny the kind of polls that they have.
Yeah.
And like the stats, divorcees are more likely to die earlier than married people.
Oh, okay.
Probably depression.
Yeah.
Actually, divorced...
Stress.
Divorced men... No.
Stress.
No. Divorced people are more likely to die than married. So are divorced people more stressed out? Or they're stressed from the divorce?
Think about the divorce that you've recently been a part of and the stress and the...
Yikes.
Shitty...
But yeah. Divorced men bear the brunt of this increased risk.
Okay.
So that's... sad.
Yeah.
Stressful.
Yeah.
All right, let me continue. Oh yeah, having friends who are divorced increases your risk.
Okay.
The most common. Okay, this is what it got me to.
Yeah.
What are the most common reasons for divorce? And I feel like that played into them being naked with each other.
Loss of sexual intimacy.
That's high.
Okay.
But it is not the first one.
Finances.
No. Okay. Actually.
Okay.
All right. These are the top reasons for divorce.
So that finances weren't one of the top
ones? Not. No, it is, but it's okay. Not number one.
Okay.
Okay. Top reasons.
Oh, infidelity.
Number two.
Infidelity is two.
Number two. Can you guess number one?
Lack of sexual interest?
No. Straight up lack of commitment.
Really?
Yeah. Lack of commitment.
Okay.
Number one.
Like not committed to the partner.
They're just not committed to the partner or the relationship. Can't commit to being with the person.
Crazy.
Lack of commitment causes divorce.
Okay.
Number two, infidelity.
Yes.
Or external affairs.
Yeah.
Number three, too much conflict or arguing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
that
I mean,
makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I had just recently, I believe it was an athlete and the reason for divorce, because I'm assuming when you file for divorce, you have to give a reason.
And it was
irreconcilable differences or something.
Yeah. And so. Okay, so before I read the rest of these, I do want to set a precedence for everyone. I think it's good that we're in an era, if you're with a spouse you're not happy with, one, I don't think you should give up on a relationship, but you also shouldn't be forced to stay with that person.
Oh, for sure.
And divorce shouldn't be as frowned upon as it used to be. I know my mom, so my mom's parents were divorced when she was like 9 months old. So she was one of the only people in her school that had divorced parents.
Yeah.
And she was relentlessly made fun of for it, for not having parents who were together.
Yeah. So I agree and I disagree. I believe the frowned uponness of it all is to discourage people into not shotgun weddings, but discourage people into marrying without being sure
committed
and stuff and all that. So, you know, in a sense I do, but also we know that people change over time and all that. And so, you know, then there is that aspect of it that you know, you're not married to the same partner you were married to when you guys.
Well, I mean, now, which is crazy, we both have divorced parents in completely different, like completely different ways. Yours were separated after just a few years.
Yeah. I think 5 years, maybe.
Like 5 years. My parents were married for 30 years.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, like, and I can honestly say I'm happy. I'm so happy my parents got separated.
Yeah, and me too. I mean, the only reason I'm happy is because it did all end up working out, you know, in the end. And you know, and I love my stepdad and I love my siblings that came from him. But then also that my parents were able to bury, you know, all that stuff and become friends and good friends with each other and, you know, all that. So,
I'm not saying divorce should be encouraged whatsoever, but in cases of like domestic violence situations, like just don't feel like you have to stay.
Yeah. No, there is a lot of
infidelity. Yeah. Don't feel like you have to stay just because you made the commitment.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a lot of, to your point, there's a lot of circumstances where, divorce is, I think, the right decision. Yes. But again, I think it is so frowned upon because we're trying to discourage people into getting married, you know, without being
truly committed.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go back to my list. Okay. So, top reasons for divorce, lack of communication or lack of commitment.
Yeah.
Infidelity, too much conflict. Number four, getting married too young.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And that, I believe, is my parents' issue.
Yes.
They got married way too young.
Yeah.
I mean, think they're, you know, they're, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. No, they got married too young.
Yes.
Yeah.
Financial problems.
Okay.
Substance abuse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know some situations there too.
Substance abuse, domestic violence, lack of support from family.
Oh, okay.
And then the other two I'm a little bit unsure about. Health problems, religious differences. I feel like you should go into it. Already prepare. Yeah. And then little to no premarital education.
Okay.
Which I'm confused by that one as well, because I feel like you learn how to be married when you're married.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think probably some of it becomes overwhelming and, you know, and people are,
Yeah. Well, sorry, I just took us on this like crazy divorce tangent.
Yeah. Well,
sorry.
Let's, why don't we lighten the mood with, you get your little gift from.
Oh, yeah. Okay, pause, because then I have another mood lightener.
Okay,
cool. I'm going to go grab it first, but these are our two write-in questions.
Okay, cool.
Or write-in fan thingies. Okay.
Oh, wait, cool.
Pause.
Where we at, 1:58. Perfect, yeah. Yeah, I thought we were right around.
Yeah. At least the bleeding stopped.
What's that? Yes, I know. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bro, you saw this whole thing about Diddy?
Yo, dude. crazy. I know. I had wanted to talk about that, like the Nickelodeon, but I didn't know. Oh, babe, we should let's save these for the next one.
Okay.
Because I mean, we're at an hour already, and yeah, this is going to be like 10 or 15 minutes. So, okay. So we have some stuff, and we can get into stuff like this.
About Nickelodeon stuff too.
Yeah, we'll get into all that the next episode. Next episode. Okay. Yeah.
After we watch the documentary.
Yeah, let's watch the documentary.
Oh, Quiet on Set.
Yeah,
I want to check it out too.
Yeah. We should watch
that. We'll all be on the same page.
Yes. Okay. Good. Yeah. And then that'll be a big part of our next.
Awesome.
Yeah. You think that's fine, right, Juan? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. Talking.
Okay, we're back. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm back.
You're back.
Would you mind moving our baby? Because yep. I don't want to hit him in the face.
Come here, buddy.
I got an incredible package. This company is based out of, I believe, Oregon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's kind of loud, and it is from 10 Barrel Brewing Company.
Ooh.
They sent me a party in a box, and I'm really excited to see what they sent me. So
cool.
They have been one of my favorite beverage companies, yeah, as far as like sours, and they make a cucumber sour that is to die for.
Yeah.
I had it for the first time in Alaska with your sister.
Yep.
She's the one who put me on them, and I could not find them in Florida, so I ordered a few cases online.
Yeah.
And I DM'd them. I'm like, hey, when are you guys going to come to Florida? And then they were like, oh my gosh, like good, big fan. So they sent us a care package.
Oh, so cool.
I'm going to save the really good stuff for here in a second.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Also, thank you to 10 Barrel for my party in a box. 10 Barrel, I think that's a teaser, an AMF.
Oh, dang.
I got a little hydro.
Okay, Hydro Flask. Yeah. Is that what everyone's going crazy over now? These little
the Hydro Flasks.
Okay, but the tumblers. Yeah.
AMF.
Oh.
Do you remember drinking AMFs
in high school?
Wow. In college?
No, I remember going to the bars in college and like, all right, what's the strongest drink in AMF? Yeah.
They made AMFs that you can buy in the can.
Damn.
AMF. And then
what are they? 13%?
13%.
Okay.
13.9% on a disco lemonade.
13.9 on that?
13.9.
So that's higher than the
No,
AMF.
That one's 13.9 as well.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah. 13.9 disco lemonade and an AMF. Let's see what else they sent me. Ooh, a cool little party shirt.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'll be great for Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my card. Oh, yay. Get your party started with 10 Barrel's all-new high-octane canned cocktails, AMF and Disco Lemonade.
Damn.
That is so cool. Okay.
And this is a precursor to the new drink.
This is a precursor to my new show. So next week, I'm going to be filming my first episode of a kick-ass cocktails.
Yep.
All right. Ooh, wireless speaker.
Oh, damn.
Let's see.
You got hooked up.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Mace?
No. Whipped cream. Whipped sunscreen.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Do not eat that.
I won't.
Whipped sunscreen. That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was mace from this.
Oh my gosh. No,
dang.
It's me mace.
Whoa. Yeah, pull these out. Some Smith sunglasses. Oh, dang. I'm wearing those for sure.
Okay, here you go. Those are cool.
Yeah, those are cool.
Okay, well, thank you so much to 10 Barrel Brewing Company for my gift. It's only right that we try one on the podcast so you guys get to know if I like them or not. And these are what I remember.
AMF tasting like?
From college.
Yeah.
From when I was 21.
Dang, I love these sunglasses too.
Oh, it smells good.
Does it?
Yeah, it does smell good.
Okay, try it.
Oh, yeah, that'll get you right.
Mm-hmm. Will it?
Vodka, rum, gin, and tequila.
Oh, it's got the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try it.
Oh, that's good. Mm.
That's an AMF. It smells just like an AMF.
Does it?
I remember.
You didn't drink as many AMFs as I did. That was my drink when I was in college.
I
didn't
probably
go to
did.
College
I just
when
don't,
I was college age.
I probably did. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we have the Disco Lemonade Vodka with natural flavors.
Okay.
Oh, that's really good.
And you're certainly going to drink both of these and not waste some, right?
I will put them in the fridge until after boxing.
Good. These are... These are both really strong. Those are both really strong.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you, 10 Barrel Brewing. I'm going to save these. I got to go to boxing.
Yeah. One more sip.
Yeah, one more sip. I was wanting to go to boxing a little drunk, see if it loosened me up a bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a kick-ass love story podcast.
Yes.
Lots of love, lots of nudity, a little bit of alcohol.
A little bit of kick-acidness.
A little bit of kick-ass, you and your bloody nose. Yeah,
I didn't bleed on my shirt, which is nice.
No, which is really good. But come back next week. We are live every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube, OFTV, iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, Deezer, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
And stay tuned because I will be filming Kick-Ass Cocktails with Paige Van Zandt, and that will be live on most of the same platforms.
Yeah. Awesome.
Come back and get drunk with me.
Yeah.
Woo!